Let's pray. And then we'll sing. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Please bless us as we take this time, Lord, just aside from the Lord. Please use it to minister to us, to inform us and strengthen us, and help us this day. Love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all the many things that you've done for us, and continue to do for us, and have promised to do for us. Lord, we hold on to those promises desperately, especially in these last of the last days. Please be with our brethren, wherever it is you might be. I pray, Lord, please, that you would inspire and undertake and strengthen and comfort and, Lord, even chasten as and where we may. Just love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, let's take our wee black books and go to number 16 in the wee black books. If anybody has a hymn that they really want to sing, not on your own, not solo, but sing all together, and you can certainly consider that as we sing this, and I'll take them off you when we're done. Listen to my picks. That is quite all right too. It's just an opportunity to share maybe a song that the Lord's put on your mind. In the meantime, number 14, if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. How deep the Father's love for us.
How deep
agree, Norma?
Thank you very much.
Next reading is from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and love and favour rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honour and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the forward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. The rod of anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, but he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, and the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of strange women is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, and shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the word of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. Rob not the poor, because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their case, their cause, and spoil the soul of those that spoil them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn his ways, and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are surlies for death. Or one of them that are surlies for death. If thou hast nothing to say, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Amen.
Thank you, Mom. That's good common sense there. Well worth a read. Amen. Just want to remind everybody again of the little green prayer list. I'm going to take a minute, and are there any additions that we need to make to this? Any additions that we need to make to the prayer list? I'm glad of that. Please continue to pray for Israel. Please continue to pray for the leaders of our countries. Certainly need a touch, and I am sure our private prayer requests
wouldn't go wanting a wee word or a wee request in heaven. Yes, Mr. Clark.
Pearl's not well.
Yes, please do pray for Pearl. That's Monica's friend, Pearl. Pearl Hetherington, please pray for her. She is a grand old Christian of 86. Hasn't been keeping well for a few days. Was it a suspected stroke?
There's something with a four-stroke test. That's all I know.
Please pray for her. Anything else? Nothing else. I can live with that. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can come before you at any time, in any place, for anything. And Lord, I pray, please, that you would grant our prayer requests and petitions according to your will, especially this evening, Lord, for Pearl, and whatever health issues she's experiencing. Pray, too, for Ed Bishop and his whole family, for Joan and Amy and David and Heather. I pray as well, Lord, for each one of us here, for our health, for our jobs, for our homes, for our spouses, for our families, our parents, our children. And I pray, Lord, please, that if it needs to be through us, that they would hear about how much you love them and want them saved and in heaven someday. But most importantly, Lord, we pray for your will to be done. For all the words that have been said and done, all the leaflets that have been put out, for all the outreaches, Lord, that souls would be spoken to. And I know, Lord, you reserve the right to speak to souls about their eternities. Give them those things that have been done. Please, Lord, use those. Thank you for every opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the life and health and strength to still be up and about and doing stuff. And I pray, Lord, please, that we continue until you return for us. We love you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. And we pray, Lord, too, for absent brethren, Pat and Steve, for John and Catherine, for Will and Christine and Marianne, and I pray for Colin's life as well, Lord. We love you and praise you. We thank you for everything, Lord. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son and in accordance with your will, Lord. Amen. If anybody's interested, Colin was expecting to be on a front where the Russians were about to attack. So pray for Colin's life. He's in Ukraine and stuff. So pray for Colin. Ling or Norman, did you come up with one? You don't have to. If you have one, we're more than glad to sing it. If you don't, I have a book full of them that we can pick one from.
Number 11.
And another book. Immortal, invisible God. And you got one as well, Norman?
247.
That's in the big book. Nice. Number 11. We'll do number 11 first. If you'd like to take and turn the wee books. Mortal, invisible, God only wise.
Thank you.
247, wasn't it? 247 in the big books. That's that as we sing, saved, saved. 247, saved, saved. After this, you get the rest of the vocal chords for a little bit, and I am going to continue on. 247. So we're going to begin reading verse number 33 in Ezekiel 20. Monica and I are, this is our joint sort of Bible reading and Bible study. And we normally read this as we after we eat our breakfast. And occasionally I come across some very interesting verses. And it is staggering to note how little people have changed and how much of the Old Testament applies to people even today. So we're in Ezekiel 20. We're going to begin reading at verse number 33, and we're going to be reading the 16 or 17 verses of God's Word. Ezekiel 20, beginning at verse number 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, or a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out, will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you're scattered with a mighty hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith the Lord God. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. As for you, house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye, every one of his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me. But pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings, and the first fruits of your oblations, with all your holy things. I will accept you with your sweet savour, when I bring you out from the people, and gather you out of the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. And there shall ye remember your ways, and all your doings, wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the south, and drop thy word toward the south, and prophesy against the forest of the south field. And say to the forest of the south, Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, I will kindle a fire in thee, and it shall devour every green tree in thee, and every dry tree, the flaming flame, shall not be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be burned therein. And all flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it, it shall not be quenched. Then said I, O Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? We're taking that last verse as our text this evening. I want to spend a minute or two on the subject of talking nonsense. Talking nonsense. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to preach your word and to spend time in your presence and in your house, lifting up your praises. Please bless this portion of the service and the other that's true. And for anybody across the land and the world, Lord, is lifting up your word, preaching the full counsel of it, I pray that it be a blessing to be had. Please help us, Lord, you know the battles that we have in front of us. And I pray, like many times back in the day, Lord, that you would go before us and fight many of those battles, and you may require us to turn up, to be there, in faith. I pray, Lord, for that. Please let your people be high and lifted up. Let your name be high and lifted up, Lord, in this world today, so that people can see and come to and be saved. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we pray your blessing upon each and every person huddled around your word this evening, no matter where they might be. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Talking nonsense. No, we're not referring to the general theme of all of my sermons over the years. It might seem like nonsense to people that are not saved, but we're using the last verse of Ezekiel 20 whenever Ezekiel said, Lord God, they say of me, doth he not speak parables? In other words, he's telling stories and fairy tales, and none of the stuff that Ezekiel's talking about is going to happen. That's what the people were saying. As we read this portion of God's word, right at the very beginning of Ezekiel 20, there were a bunch of men came to visit Ezekiel to see if they could get a word from the Lord. Now bear in mind, at the beginning of Ezekiel, God has shown Ezekiel just how bad, how corrupt, how wicked even the very holy people, the people that were the guiding lights in Israel, had become. They were worshipping animals, they were worshipping creatures, they were worshipping the sun, they were worshipping devils and idols. God says, I'm done with you. I am long-suffering. I am very patient, but I am not forever suffering. And so as we read these last few words, all the times that Ezekiel got up and warned them all, it just seemed like to them, oh, Ezekiel's just telling stories. He's talking nonsense. But the people have rejected God yet again. And things are starting to happen. And I got to thinking, because we have read in Jeremiah and we have read in Ezekiel, and there is a lot of judgment, there's a lot of pleading with people. I don't know what it takes to shift people. God has pled with mankind for as long as mankind has walked in the face of this world. And some people will listen. And some people won't. Just whatever it is that they have going on in their heads, it seems to be more important than what God would like to tell you. Something that sometimes as I was working with Norman on the church, I'd be thinking, man, that job looks really, really difficult. And Norman would say, well, I have a tool for that. And he would pull out a piece of electric thingamajiggery out of a bag, and that would make short work of it. That's what God wants to do for us. He has a way of living in this life, or a way of doing things that just make things so much easier. So I got to thinking, because let's be honest, if you went down and spoke to Joe Public and said, you know, if you've committed any sins ever, you're going to end up in hell unless you have Jesus Christ paying for your sins. That's the honest truth. If you say that, people, yeah. All that blathering and nonsense of, well, I like to believe that we're seated here by space aliens and we've been on. I remember telling someone in a wee chipping, JP's in Portadown, as you go up the street towards the Portadown College. No, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe we were put here by space aliens. What if people realize that the man of God, and when I say the man of God, or the person that God has put their hand on in any given moment, and they utter the word of Scripture that God has put in their minds, what if people realized it was right and true? What if they thought about it? How would folks know that it was ever true? Normally you can attest to something if it's happened to you. Wouldn't that be right? I know you shouldn't fall off of scaffolding. Because I can attest you can come away with some bees or bruises, let me tell you. I am sure a lot of people can say, I know you should pay attention whenever you're working with bandsaws. I knew a wee man in Desmond's that just got a wee bit trimmed off one of his fingers there. One of his fingers was very much thinner than the other and right the way down the side of his hand. That you should pay attention with bandsaws. And that wee man said, yes, sir, you're preaching to the choir. I know you should pay attention when you're using bandsaws. Why is that? Because of his personal experience. Some other people might say, well, yes, I believe you should be careful with bandsaws because I remember that happened. Historical record. And other people might believe it because it recently happened to somebody else. In other words, it's happening right now. It's happened in the past. It's happened to me personally, or it's happening now. But in a world that has done its utmost to turn away from this book that we spend hours reading in the week, How are people supposed to know? Whenever the Bible is poo-pooed, you're called a nutjob, a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, called a Holy Joe, a Bible thumper, all terms that are not very, not meant in the best possible sense. They're not meant as a complimentary description of the Christian. They're meant as to say that that person is very annoying. They're always knocking on the door and wanting to talk to you about Jesus. How are you supposed to know what God says is right, is true? As we read this verse of Ezekiel, we know from history, from looking back at it, exactly what was going to happen. Exactly what did happen. God cursed the children of Israel. Not all of them, but all of those that were worshipping idols. We know that from history. Because we look at the Bible. But how are we supposed to know? We're supposed to go back to the Bible. If the world, the flesh, and the devil is trying really, really hard to take something off of you, like your freedom with your money. You see the new digital currencies coming in? It means the bank has the power to control your life instead of you reaching into your pocket and having £5, £10, £20. I don't know what comes after that. £50? £100? I remember that's like when dinosaurs used to rule the earth. You would see those floating about. But if they want it gone so badly, you can be sure it's good for you. Honestly. And if they're trying to encourage you to do something, you can be sure it's bad for you. That is how wicked the world has gotten. We are in the very times that Isaiah said in Isaiah 5, woe unto you that call evil good and good evil. We're in those days now. So bear that in mind. You need to go back and just read the Bible. Or even better, ring me. And I'll get to the bits in the Bible that show you what it is you need to know. But read the Bible. The King James Bible. And if that the man you go to ask is not telling you, A, you need to be born again, B, you need to read the Bible, and C, you need to apply it to your life, you need to run screaming from him. You really do. Just like it says in Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 4, come out from among her and be ye separate. That's talking about the whore of Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church, the head of all false religion at the moment in the world. Get out of it. Get away from it. Even better, there's one person who will always have his ear open for a questioning soul, and that's God. Ask him, Lord, would you help me? And there's a great little promise for you in James chapter 1. It says, if any man lack wisdom, if there's any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, in other words, never scolds you or gives off to you. Just ask God and he'll help you. He'll put the pieces together in your head. He'll see you saved. And then he'll see you walking right with him if you want. He gives liberally to all men and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Ask. This book, it's that important that people have given their lives for. Not by the twos and the threes, but by the thousands and the ten thousands. All the way through the dark ages and the great scourges and the persecutions of Christians, it was so that the word of God could get out there. And Jesus made a promise. If you can pick up a Bible today, 2,000 years after it was finished, you have just revealed one of God's promises to mankind in general. And it appears three times in Matthew 24, in Mark chapter 13, and in Luke chapter 21. And you know what it said? Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. Because we need it, and we're going to need it as long as there's people walking on their two pins in the face of this earth, they will need to know the words of the Bible. And if you take God at his word and read his word, even at the start, has anyone ever heard of people say, you should read the book of Revelation? Never heard people say that. If you want a good reason to get right with God, read the book of Revelation. At the very beginning of the book of Revelation, it says there's a blessing for the person that reads it. First half a dozen paragraphs. Read it. And you will find that there are other things that are written in the Bible that have happened, that were written down before they happened, that have been noted in history, and ones that are even have happened in recent history, and ones that's even happening right now in this world. And only someone that didn't want to see them wouldn't see them. First of all, the judgment that fell on Israel. Israel has literally been kicked from pillar to post for the past 2,000 years until about 76 years ago. Just like the Bible said, in troubled times, Israel will become a nation again. In Zechariah chapter 12. In Jeremiah chapter 31, the Lord said, the Lord that scattered them would gather them. And that's exactly what happened. They're hated the world over, but they're not forgotten by God. Now hold on. That means God said he would keep the Bible there, and God said he would restore Israel, and we've still got the Bible, and we've still got Israel. What else would there be in that book? The one that always tickles me is about Revelation 13, where the Bible says that there would be an image given life. And people think, oh, we're looking for this thing that would be given life, and yet everybody's walking around with a mobile phone in their pocket that they can watch the latest feature films on. Or see what's happening in Israel or Gaza on somebody's webcam. We've had moving images for about 150 years. Remember that. The Bible said as well that there would come a day when we would be able to wipe out every living person on the face of the earth. And here we are, we're doing our best to give it a shot. Nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, biological weapons. We've seen them all. They're happening. That's in Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 1, the Bible would say when Jesus comes back in the sky, every eye would see him. Now, I don't know about you, but we can't even see what's going on in Belfast from here, and that's only 70 or 80 miles away. How is everyone supposed to see what's going on in Israel? Someone will pull out their mobile phone. I've got an IP address for a webcam in Israel. I can see what's happening in the sky. Of course we have. We've got a global communications network. Daniel said in chapter 12 that there would be a day when knowledge was increased and men would travel to and fro. And here we are. Google or Yahoo or DuckDuckGo or whatever your particular favorite search engine is, it's there. These things were prophesied. Daniel's was prophesied, goodness, nearly 3,000 years ago. And it's only coming true in the past 100. The Bible also talks about a great mocking and persecution of Christians. That's in the book of Matthew 24, and that's also in Mark 13. It even talks about people that will look out for people like you and I that worship a God that saved them. And have them put in jail and even kill them and believe in their hearts that they're doing the work of God. And it's happening. Catholic Church was doing it in the 1500s and 1600s. And then the Protestant Church was persecuting everybody that wasn't a Protestant. And it was just crazy. And the Christians were always stuck in the middle. A great turn in the general characteristics of the people of the world. Just being all into themselves and selfish and thinking that whatever they want is the most important thing in the world. That's in 2 Peter 3 and 2 Timothy 3. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be proud and covetous and boasters, unholy, unthankful, disobedient to parents. They will be mockers and scoffers of those that are good, 2 Peter chapter 3 said. It even goes on to say in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the very men and indeed women if that's what they're identifying as, that standing behind the pulpit, will be traitors. Now, how many times in another, if you ever go to another church, listen to what the preacher says about getting to heaven. If he never says you must be born again, if he says, oh, don't worry about that, everybody's going to heaven, that is a lie, because Jesus said only a few will ever find the road to life. We live in those days. We're ministers in the big four religions, the Roman Catholic, the Presbyterian, the Methodist, and the Church of Ireland will not speak of the gospel in the church. They're traitors. They're not working for God. No matter what they say to you over a cup of tea, it's what the people are hearing in the church. They're not telling them they need to be saved. People reject God's creation. Everything that's to do with the preaching cross, they reject it. They think that if we embrace evolution, there's no accountability. We're not specially made by God. We're not living souls. We're not liable for our sins. We can just do whatever we want. That's how animals survive. And that very creation, Paul said in Romans, was a proof that there's a God. There's a warning of trouble. Whenever we see things back to front in Isaiah, woe unto you that give good for evil and evil for good. We live in the day when criminals get away with murder and citizens are persecuted and prosecuted for nothing. We live in the day when nations are rising against nation. There's wars and rumors of war. Famines. There is a famine in this country right now. And if I said olive oil, that's been a particular bugbear of mine recently. You go into Tesco's, you can buy 1 litre of olive oil, I think it was for £8.50 a litre. That makes it about £42.50 or so for 5 litres. If you go into Linus's, you can buy 5 litres of extra virgin olive oil for £53. And if you go into Musgrave, you can get it for £33. Guess where we got our olive oil? £33 and 35, was it? I want my £2 back. A few months back, that was only £20. Price of food is going up and up and doesn't show any sign of slowing down. It says there'll be famines and diseases and earthquakes all over the place. And I don't have to spend any more time on that because those are happening. Even the people in the churches, when they're all into themselves, their love has grown cold. They are not allowing themselves to be used by God anymore. You have the breakdown of the family. And Jesus said over and over, there's going to come a time when a man's foes will be there of his own household. And we see today the government interrupting or inserting themselves in between parents and children. Oh, don't worry about telling your mummy and daddy, we'll give you contraceptives. Oh, that contraceptive didn't work and you're pregnant, don't worry about that, we'll get you an abortion. Oh, Johnny, do you feel like a Janie today? We'll get you gender reassignment surgery. You don't have to worry about that. Oh, but did your mummy and daddy scold you or smack you? We'll get the government to come and sort your mummy and daddy out. They have no business sticking their nose into families. Someone needs to cut that wee bit of their nose off and teach them a lesson. And I know a man that's coming to do it. All these things are out there. I'm sure there's a few more. There's a brilliant one about the pit in Revelation where it talks about all these things coming out like a great swarm of locusts. And we see all this drone technology out and about right now. That fits that perfectly, my goodness. All these things are in the Bible and we can see them right now and in recent history. And only a fool could say, oh, it's not true. This is people that will read their horoscopes in the Daily Mirror or the Express and think that God's speaking directly to them through a horoscope. You're going to meet someone tall, dark and handsome. And he actually happens to be the tax man knocking at the door looking for your back taxes. These things are taking place every day. Weeks on end. And they're so common, people think that they're normal, but never actually think about reading this book that's 2,000 years old and seeing things written in it that could only apply to today. So when someone starts standing up and preaching about all of this stuff, because people are almost completely ignorant of the gospel, even in my sister's primary school, I used to get the occasional invitation to go round and speak to the kids in Portadown in the primary school of a Wednesday morning. The headmaster won't even have their hymns and their Bible stories anymore. And that's in a little Protestant primary school in Portadown. And the whole reason for that is so that when somebody stands up and starts telling people about the things that God said in his Bible, people think, as they said to Ezekiel, he's talking in parables, he's talking nonsense. So old Mark and laughed, they did in Sodom and Gomorrah, they did in the days of Noah. In fact, they even did it in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Oh, this guy's talking nonsense, what does he know? God loves us. God's going to let everything go. God will forgive all of your sins. One of those statements is a lie. God won't let everything go. Unless, of course, everybody gets saved, then everything will be let go. But we know that's not going to happen. Okay. Old Ezekiel, he's only telling us a wee fairy tale to frighten the kids. God doesn't mind. You see, everybody laughs and jokes until a wee bit of Bible judgment lands very close to home. A wee bit of what the Bible refers to us personally happens to us personally. We're not talking about the end of mankind or the world bursting into flames or the iron core slowing down or aliens being dropped in on meteorites or nothing like that. We're talking about the end of somebody's life. That's when a whole bunch of the other stuff starts to kick in. And the Word of God warns us time and time again that there is a hell to be avoided. Like the plague, a place of torment and regret and separation from God forever. I'm sure God's name will be mentioned a lot in it, but God's not there. And that there's a heaven to be gained for that soul. The bargain of the price of your sin, if you let it go. A place with no more sin, and nobody has a sin nature. Everybody has new and glorified bodies with no more aches or pains. Get to see their Savior face to face, and all the angels and all the saved of every generation of man. Get to see that. Everybody will get to see one of those. Sadly, most people will end up in hell in the lake of fire. Because they'll be sitting laughing about you handing them a gospel tract or telling them that God loves them no matter how bad they are and is prepared to forgive them their sins if they'll let their sins go. Everybody will get one of those. You see, what the Bible called sin is still sin, even if the world calls it acceptable behavior. There's a bunch of those things we can't verify. We can't send a camera in a coffin onto heaven or hell and get pictures back from it. We can't do that. We can't capture an angel and put him in a neck lock and force him to tell us the way to heaven or what it's like. We can't do that. We can't do it. I think I've seen it on at least one Hollywood movie. We can't stop our heart and cool our bodies away down and spend 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes in the afterlife seeing if we make it or don't. We can't do that. As I was reading this, I got to thinking about all the things that God has put in his word that we see every day. And then all of the things that God has put in his word that are for the future, for our individual future. And you know what I got to thinking about? I got to thinking about my multivitamins and minerals and stuff that I take in the morning. I have nearly died choking to death on some of those because I didn't take a drink of water with them. Tried to swallow them down. First thing in the morning, And my throat is as dry as, I don't know if it's dry outside, but it's as dry and it feels like a piece of sandpaper. And one of them has gone down the wrong way or stuck halfway down my throat. And the best thing to do, take a mouthful of water, wet your windpipe or your esophagus, and then put the tablets in, have another mouthful of water, and the water washes them down. And that is exactly what our visible promises and prophecies are in the Bible. They are to help us digest the invisible ones, the ones we have to take by faith. And so if we open our eyes, did God not say that he would restore Israel?
Yes, he did. It's in the Bible in many places.
He did that. Cool. Did God not say that there would come a time when images could be given life? Yeah, he did. Well, he's done that. It's happened. Did God not say Christians would be mocked and persecuted across the world? Yeah. That's happened. Did God not say that we'd be able to wipe everything out at some point just before Jesus came back? Hey, he did say that. He said it twice, in fact. We're there. So all of these things that God has said have happened. That must mean that I have an immortal soul, like the Bible says, and it needs to be saved before my time runs out in this world, or I am going to spend the rest of eternity in hell in the lake of fire. So all of these other ones are true. Not one of them is ever found to be false. So I am saying they should help you to believe in the promises of God that have not yet been realized in this world or in your life, so that you can depend upon them. So that whenever you hear them, it's not nonsense to you. It's a cast iron guarantee from the God that never lies. Help you understand, the Bible's not full of fairy tales and morality tales, or as Ezekiel said, just parables, although we know there are some parables in there. But actual, factual accounts of men and women, boys and girls, and their personal experiences with God, and even whole countries. But just like everything in the Bible, you know what? I could give you the most eloquent speech, okay? I think I've done pretty well, actually. But it's entirely up to you what you do with it. You can either believe what God says in his word, and you can live a life in God mode with God as your friend at your right hand, or you can go and live some other way and just try winning it on your own. Either way, there is a course of action, there is a course of consequences, rewards, blessings, cursings and chastenings, depending upon the road that you take. I would urge you, as strongly as I can, to listen to what the Bible says and just do it. God loves you and wants the best for you, wants you in heaven with him, but he wants you walking with him here in this world. The Bible is not parables, it's not fairy tales, it's not stories. It's a historical account of God as he's worked in the world with the Jews and with Jews. And leave. So listen to him when he calls. All right, folks, we're going to sing a song and then we are going to be dismissed. So let's take our little black books and turn to number 19. Number 19, wee black book, and we'll stand and sing, God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet.
to any soul about Jesus, you're not talking nonsense. Those are the words of eternal life. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lovely bit of time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, for your Son Christ Jesus. And Lord, just thank you for taking time to listen to us, even with our silly prayer requests. Please bless us as we part company. Please let us not forget to tell folks about you. We love you and praise you. Please use us to save souls. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.